Good morning, my friends. I was listening to that gospel and the story of Peter being naked when he is fishing reminded me recently Facebook had a little highlight of Gardening Naked Day, which it took place at some point last week, right? And which I didn't do that myself. But apparently, this guy who didn't have a garden but was a beekeeper didn't want to be left out, so he did some beekeeping naked. I'm not kidding. And I just thought that was a special thing that I should share with all of you. So, just in case you think you're strange or crazy, you're not. I'm a part of a prayer group. I'm a mentor, actually, in this prayer group, and I've been doing this for several years now, and I have someone who mentors me, and then I mentor other men. And about a year and a half ago, I was assigned a new person, and some of our membership are, it's a wide variety of people, and this new guy that was assigned to me was actually a formerly homeless person who was living at the Salvation Army. And his name was James, and my former mentor gave James my number, and I honestly didn't expect him to call. He didn't have a phone, so I figured, well, you know, you can give my number to the guy, but I may never hear from him. And sure enough, he called me the very next day, and then he called me the day after that, and he just kept calling. In fact, he called every day of the week up until he got a cell phone of his own, and then he started texting me, which was kind of neat, and he was excited about that. He'd never had a cell phone before. He and I would have breakfast or lunch probably once every 2 weeks or so, but we talked every day, and we became friends. At first, we, you know, we're just going to try to sort out his life. He had been literally living on the streets of Jacksonville for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and you know, he needed some basic skill building about, you know, how to get a job and how to, you know, do an interview and things like that. What to wear, you know, some basic stuff. And we helped out with that. He always called me Mr. John, which I really liked. I don't know why, but I was Mr. John to James. And it was just always kind of neat. I remember the day that he got his first job. It was kind of amazing. It was like when one of your kids finishes high school or something. I mean, it was a really unexpectedly exciting day for me for him to get his first job. And at the end of his first 8-hour shift, he called me and he said, "Mr. John, I hate to say it, but I think I'm too good for this place." And I said, "James, can you remind me of the last time you had a full-time job?" And honestly, we'd never discussed it before. And I was expecting him to say, you know, 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. And by the way, this happened in 2017. He said, "I think it was either 1996 or 1997. I paused for a second and I thought, and I said, "James, you are not too good for that job." And he went back to work the next day. James was a delightful guy, and he was an incredible person to watch blossom and grow. The experience I had with him, though, was not one of being a mentor for very long. I'm decent at mentoring and all that, but I just kind of don't stay in that role for too long, because eventually, usually pretty quickly, I just start to care a lot about the person, and we kind of transition at some point, just like Jesus did with his disciples. We transition from, you know, a kind of one role to another role, and we just become friends, you know. So very quickly, James was simply my friend. He kept calling me Mr. John. That was just kind of his Georgia upbringing. But other than that, you couldn't tell the difference. One of the things that I noticed as the transition took place was that I really looked forward to seeing him. You know, it was never a burden, but it wasn't all that exciting in the first couple of months when we barely knew each other. But after we got close, it was always great to carve out some time in my schedule to spend, you know, 2 hours with this guy having lunch or having breakfast and just catching up, you know, how are things going? He was reaching out to his family again and kind of reconnecting. There was always some drama at the job. He ran a sawmill thing, and there was always the guy that ran the sawmill thing faster than him, and the guy that did it slower than him, and who was going to get the promotion and all that. But what was really just neat was to watch this human being kind of come back to life after having had several rough years. He found a way back into the land of the living, and that was just a delight for me. Earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not understand what his master is doing. Now I call you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So Jesus' friends, who were once his servants, have got a new role in their life of being his friend. Much of what Jesus teaches us is in the way that he talks to us. He tells us the great commandments. He tells us about the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us who we're responsible for. He tells us who our neighbors are with the story of the Good Samaritan. So he tells us a lot of things in the words that he speaks to us. But he also tells us a lot of things in the way that he lives his life. And that's what today's gospel is to me. He says, "Come and have breakfast." His friends have been fishing all night long. This is his third appearance after the resurrection. They've been fishing all night long. They're hungry. They're tired. They just hauled in this giant catch, this miraculous catch that he helped them with. And he simply says, he doesn't say, "Hey, look at what I just did for you." He just says, "Hey, come sit down. Let's have breakfast." The disciples didn't have to ask him, "Who are you?" Apparently, when you are resurrected, your appearance is different. I think that's not news to most of us. There's plenty of other stories in the Bible that indicate that. But they recognize him by what he does. He says, "Come and sit down and have breakfast." And they break bread together. When I went to seminary, we helped each other move in. So, you get to the school over the summertime, and people, different families arrive at different times. Sometimes you're arriving in July, some in August, all the way up until like the first day of class, people are arriving to go to school. And each of the families that had already been there would help the new families move in. And I really liked that. I liked the help when I got there, and I liked being helpful when other people got there, and it gave me a chance to introduce myself and my family and kind of get to know people. Except for this one guy. This one guy named Michael. When Michael showed up, I just didn't like the looks of him. I mean, you're in seminary, so you're supposed to pretend to like everybody. And I was okay at that, I suppose. And, Michael seemed like a likable guy, but I just didn't care for him. He was very churchy, which, that's a great quality to have if you're in seminary. But it seemed a little over the top. It's just a little over the top in the churchy thing. And I thought to myself, I'm probably just never going to like this guy, and that's a shame. But I'll get over it. It took about 2 weeks before the eggshell cracked, and I came to adore this guy. His dad was a priest in the Episcopal Church, and he was kind of a big deal from the diocese that he came from. So he was always trying to live up to this ideal of who his dad was in that place. And once I knew that, I said to Michael, "I don't need the show." And he said, "Okay." And he, believe me, noticed plenty of things about me that he didn't need. And he shared those with me. And our friendship began on that basis of trust and friendship. And I adore him. And we are still in touch all the time. He sent me, we both managed to gain about 20, 25 pounds at seminary. You can eat a lot at our cafeteria was an all you can eat buffet, and we ate everything. He sent me a picture of our last meal together, and it was enough for three or four people, and it was just the two of us. I don't remember memorializing it in film, but he did. Thank you. But he was also the first person to celebrate with me when I was invited to work here. It's a dear, dear friendship for me. So Jesus gave us these many examples of of how to live and how to be with each other. My friend James passed away earlier this year, which was incredibly sad. It was a really, really heartbreaking moment for me. But I want to reflect that he had, in his last year on life, he had a place to live. He had a shower. This is a formerly homeless man. He had a place to live. He had a shower every day. He had a full-time job. He had dignity. He had strength. He had incredible faith. He was a very, very faithful Christian. And he was living back into the dream that God has always had for him. And that dream is called friendship. Amen.